Get ready for the new look Rush Hour.
We're not here just to take part. We're here to take over.
Andrew Jarman.
Beautiful to Jarman. Bang.
Bernie Vince.
Vince, non-goal kicker, brings the house down.
And Greg Blewett.
There it is. Magnificent performance from young Greg Blewett.
Your favourite weekend show you'll now get every afternoon. Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars.
For Keno, with a draw every few minutes, there's always time for a spot of Keno. Play today. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to your Tuesday edition of the Rush Hour on this beautiful sunny
no,
day.
No, he hasn't, has he?
Bernie. It's a beautiful day out there. 22 degrees, hardly a breath of wind. Mm. Perfect day for golf, perfect day for fishing, and a perfect day to do a radio show.
Inside.
With my mate, Bernie what? Vince.
It's not a perfect day to do a radio show. It's perfect to do all the other things, which we probably should be out doing. But I suppose this is our work and this is why we get paid. So, you know what? We've got a big show coming up. A lot of things coming. And I had a bit of a, yesterday I've just had a little, well, reminder of Harvey's year in daycare, a little parent-teacher interview. And I'm going to run you through that a little bit later.
How long do you need for that little seg?
Probably two or three breaks. I forgot some of these things and they run through all the incident reports that he's had. Whether he's giving it out or taking it. And there's been a bit of both, maybe a touch more giving it out. But interesting little meeting that was.
All right, stick around for that one. Now, you've had a little trim as well. You've got the moustache happening for Movember, as have I.
Yes.
Even, actually, my wife said to me last night that she's half digging it, which I can't.
She must be
taking the mickey.
You started to scare me then for a sec. Oh, I thought you were going to say, even my wife's growing it. And it was quickly followed up. I nearly fell off my chair there for a sec, but good on Catherine.
Yeah.
She's into it, is
talk,
she?
We'll talk to... Nah, well, apparently. I don't know. I reckon she was having a bit of fun.
I'm glad you can actually see mine. It's good that the big lights are on. Can we get this light on in front of me?
Yours, Bern, is just a bit of bum fluff.
Diana.
At least Greg's got
a different colour.
Well, yeah.
He's sort of got the...
But yours has got a salt and pepper in it, Blue.
Oh, hang on. Great. Hang on. Gee, you can't see mine because this light's not on.
All
once
right.
this light comes
you
on, wait till you see that.
Typical.
Hey, there it is. You all can right. see it now.
I can.
Yeah.
It's got a bit of a red tinge to it. Has it?
Yeah.
Strawberry blonde.
It's anything you need it to be.
Hey, Bern, as we expected, the great Russell Ebert is being awarded the state funeral,
yep.
which we pretty much knew. And here's Premier Stephen Marshall with that announcement.
I have spoken to Di Ebert. We have offered and the family has accepted a state funeral for Russell Ebert, OAM. The funeral will be held next week and it will be held down at Alberton. So more details regarding that will be provided when the family has finalised.
Jeez, if anyone deserves it, Russell Ebert does. So just confirmed what we thought was going to happen. So well done there. Also, Blue, a bit of footy news. Former number one draft pick, Paddy McCartan. Looks set to get another lifeline in the AFL for Sydney. He played some VFL footy this year for Sydney as part of the VFL when they did play last year. He actually got done for 5 weeks, I think, at one stage for clubbing someone behind play, which we don't mind at some stages.
Come on,
he probably deserved it.
Come on.
But that is good news because obviously injury plague, 35 games he played for St Kilda and then was delisted as a number one draft pick. So... Jeez, it was a short career.
Had a lot of concussions.
Tried the helmet. That didn't seem to work. So obviously Sydney would have done their homework and felt that he's, I don't know how you get over something like that or if that, obviously it's improved and he hasn't had a knock for a while. So, you know what, good luck to him because that is a guy that's had a wretched run of it.
Yeah, that's a great story. Interesting too, remember the Blade Runner? Oscar Pistorius.
Yeah.
Who,
what's happened there?
Well, he murdered his girlfriend, Reeva Steenkamp. This was, of course, the South African.
Yes.
Got 13 years and 5 months. Now, this was huge news. I remember following it very closely.
That wasn't 13 years ago, was it?
No, he got 13 years, so he got sentenced, but he's up for parole. So he's about halfway through his sentence. So he got convicted in 2015.
Yeah.
So that's 6 years. So he's about halfway through. So that'll be interesting to see if he...
How has he got enough?
I know.
No,
that's a complete other topic. But
I'm not a judge, but I think we just leave him in there for a while. I think we leave him in there, Blue.
That's it.
Well, it's been a sad week for South Australia Blue and family with the passing of Russell Ebert on Friday afternoon, and some sad news overnight with the passing of, well, the Saka CEO, Keith Bradshaw.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, fairly shattering, to be honest, Byrne. I was very fortunate enough to be part of a WhatsApp group that was set up for Keith's family and friends a few months ago now to sort of try and, you know, keep him, you know, cheerful and try and send some messages of love and friendship and that. So, yeah, saw the messages coming through this morning about his passing yesterday afternoon, surrounded by his family. But just, he was my boss, a lot of other people's bosses as well, and he was one of those people that just adored his staff, and you know, his main thing was his relationships, and there'll be a lot of shattered people down at the Saka, that's for sure, and all over the world.
Yeah, and Saka put out a statement this morning, and I'll just read some of that. It is with deep sadness that the family of Keith Bradshaw announces that Keith sadly passed away late yesterday after a long and courageous battle with cancer. Bradshaw has been the CEO of the South Australian Cricket Association since 2012 and was previously chief executive of the MCC. And just it's a fairly long statement, but I picked out a few things. They described him as a tough negotiator when fighting for the Saka, which is always what you want from your CEO. Yep. Passionate man, yet always treating people with respect, and was commanding of that from others as well. A fitting celebration of Keith's extraordinary life will be held at the Adelaide Oval in the coming week, with those details to be announced once confirmed. So obviously very sad. And again, like when you see the bit similar to Russell Ebert, when you see someone on the downward path, it's still,
yep,
you know, it's probably the, well, it's going to happen at some stage, but it's a shock to the system, isn't it? And especially for someone that did so much. And he was an innovator, wasn't he, Blue?
He certainly was, Byrne. He was much loved, that's for sure. Very humble guy, charismatic, good-looking man. But, you know, he was one of those guys that if you met Keith, you know, you just walk away and just go, what a bloke.
Yeah.
You know, just a really, really nice bloke. Played first-class cricket for Tasmania, 25 games, so he won't hold that against
average
him. Byrne, he was all right.
Batsman.
He retired, and then he was a partner at Price Waterhouse,
yeah,
and then he got a call out of the blue from someone working at the MCC in London saying, yeah, "Are you interested in doing the job at Lords?" And he was like, "Are you joking? This is like thought it was a prank call."
Yeah,
went through a 5-month period of 8 interviews, and eventually got the job. So he went over to England and headed up there. Absolutely loved his time over there at Lords. And, of course, you know, met royalty and met rock stars, yeah, and, you know, people that love cricket. And he entertained them at Lords.
Yep.
Lived on the grounds as, yeah, well. So, jeez. I mean, I know for a fact that he absolutely loved his time over there. And then the job came up here in Adelaide in 2011. And I think he was pretty much headhunted for that as well.
Yep.
So that was a great appointment. And as you said, he's been here for about 10 years. You oversaw the redevelopment of Adelaide Oval,
yep,
which was,
huge.
I think we all agree that, yep, it's just been unbelievable for this city.
Unreal.
It's exactly what we needed. And as you said, Byrne, bit of an innovator. Like he was the one behind trying to develop the pink ball.
See, I didn't know
pink
this.
Ball day-night test cricket.
And how good's that been?
Yeah.
As just a spectacle for test matches going forward.
Yep.
And now the Adelaide test, I think they're going to do another day-night test, aren't they, in the Ashes?
No, just the one. So it'll just be the one in Adelaide.
Just here. That's what I mean.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's a legacy he'll leave. And
yeah,
I think it's a great thing. Ball does more. It's more exciting. There's wickets. There's runs. There's everything. So, well done.
Yep. So that was in 2015, the first one against New Zealand. You know, he's overseen the development of the strikers. We always have the New Year's game.
Yep.
So, you know, he's done a lot here in Adelaide, and as I said, he's just a much loved individual, and he fought that bloody thing for 13 years,
yeah,
and just, you know, the things I cherish are the, you know, the private conversations I had with Keith, and just sort of letting me know what he went through, which a lot of people didn't know. Just a great man.
And our thoughts and prayers go out to his fiancée, Helen, and all his children.
Hey, Byrne, great news yesterday. Dual premiership AFLW star Chelsea Randall has been reappointed as the sole captain of the Adelaide Crows for a second successive year. And it's going to be her sixth year in charge.
It's amazing.
Yep, she was a dual captain with Erin Phillips for 4 years as well. And she's a favourite of ours here on the Rush Hour, and she joins us now. Good afternoon, Chelsea.
Good afternoon, guys. How are we?
Yeah, good, good. So good. 6 years, are you as excited as you've ever been to lead this group?
It's very humbling. It's always nice every single year so far that when they read your name out, that your peers have voted you in. It's very humbling and an honour. So I'm excited to get started. And a new addition of Stevie Lee Thompson in our leadership group is really cool as well.
Pre-season update so far. Generally at this time of year, everyone's the fittest they've ever been. They're breaking records in the time trials. They're the strongest they've ever been. What is the group going like at the moment?
Oh, it's awesome. We have some really young guns that have joined our group this year. Brooke Tonnen and Zoe Prowse and Abby Ballard and a basketballer background with Jazzy Simmons joining us. And they've just been carving it up, which is awesome to see. I tell you what, I feel like I'm definitely getting a bit older as the young ones are flying past me. But it's the girls are training really hard and they're looking great.
So the enthusiasm after the disappointment at the end of last season, has that got a real fire in your belly?
Yeah, I mean, you can look at when we came off the grand final, it was really heartbreaking, I think. It's probably the word, and you kind of sometimes you can walk away from those things and avoid them, or you can stare them right in the eye and go, right, well, let's just use this as a burning desire to be better. And I think that's what the girls have basically taken away, are learning from that. And we're hungry and we want to just keep continuing to be better, better role models for our community and better footballers for ourselves and for our teammates.
Chelsea, have you had an update or have you got some clarity around the start date of the season? Because the WA borders have thrown a bit of a spanner in the works, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. It's actually, I've got my parents over from WA, who's originally being a West Australian. All my family's over there. So, yeah, they've come over just before the borders, I guess, open on the 23rd of November. So we're just unsure whether that means that WA will shut or whatnot. So it's a bit unknown, really, isn't it? But we've just got to be flexible in this kind of time. So, yeah, we'll just work out all those little things when they kind of occur. But, I guess we're hoping to start in January is probably the time frame, I believe, that was set a little while ago.
Hey, Chelsea, I saw you on the news last night addressing the question about your teammate, Denny Van Hagen, who we all know her stance by now. What sort of contact have you had with her and how is she handling the news, I suppose, that she's not going to be running around with you guys?
The whole situation has obviously been really challenging and a very unique one for both parties, for the footy club, for Denny, for the players. We absolutely adore and love Denny to bits and what she's done for our footy club. And unfortunately, her stance at this point in time is different to what the club's stance is. And they've both come to a mutual agreement to put her on the inactive list at this point in time. And all we can do is continue to support Denny as a person and respect her decision. And try and focus on our footy going forward.
We've had your coach, Doc Clark, on a few times. I'm always interested in a captain-coach relationship. And the relationships I know, the coach would end up, basically pissing the captain off. Is he like that? Does he ring you after every training session? Does he want to know what you ate for breakfast? Does he want to know what every other player's doing? What's that relationship like?
No, it's a really healthy relationship. I love that bloke. He's awesome. He's probably sick and tired of receiving my phone calls. I'm probably the one that's always on the phone be like, hey, I thought of this. Why don't we do this? he's very good. He's very open and honest, and we're able to really talk, with transparency, which is awesome. And, always learning with Doc. He's just a fabulous coach. He's probably one of the best I've ever been coached by, and I have so much respect for him. He makes training fun as well as really challenging and engaging.
Hey, Chelsea, you probably realise now that Jars isn't here.
Where is that bloke?
Oh, well, he's...
Well, hang on, hang on. He's just walking in. He might have a question here for you.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here it is.
He was kind of the best combo.
And Chels, what about the race? Can you see a future in terms of participating in some sort of pre-season program like this?
What the hell was that question?
Is that the best question you've ever been asked?
Heard anything like it?
Oh, my God.
It
was going on swings and roundabouts. Oh, he's a classic.
Well, I can still picture him, Chelsea. He had his head in his hands. His eyes were closed, and he was just trying to work out what he was going to say.
Visualize.
And that's how it came out.
God, it's probably lucky he's not here. He needs a bit of a break.
Yeah, he needs a regular holiday. But thanks, Chelsea. Thanks for joining us on the Rush Hour here, and good luck too with the season coming up. And obviously, your sixth consecutive year. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Take care. I don't
like cricket.
Okay.
Just keep playing that.
What was he trying to do there?
Rapping.
Rapping, yeah. Little remix. But speaking of cricket, big announcement overnight, Blue. We're heading back to Pakistan.
I cannot believe it,
Neither
Bern.
Can I.
A lot of people thought this would never happen or not in their lifetime because... not since 1998 has an Australian team toured Pakistan. Of course, they've had their troubles in Pakistan. 2009, there was that attack on the Sri Lankan players on the way to a ground. Yep. Some of the umpires got messed up in that as well. And really, since then, there's been hardly any cricket played in Pakistan whatsoever. They've been pretty much based in the UAE, where the World T20 is being played at the moment. So... it actually came out of the blue for me. I didn't even think it was on the radar. No. England pulled out about 3 months ago of a tour there, so it was sort of looking like, it's still a bit of a problem. Look, I'd still be a little bit apprehensive about going, but they all talk about the security bubble that they're in and then that they're going to be very, very safe. So I think I never toured Pakistan, which is one of my regrets, really. Like, it was probably the only real cricketing nation that
choice?
I didn't play.
No.
Just wasn't chosen for that 98 tour.
Yep.
That tour, of course, is when Mark Taylor made how many runs? Can you remember?
334.
Good boy.
And
Bern,
declared.
At the top of your,
and declared.
On Don Bradman's number. 334.
See, I don't know the cricket, Blue.
Damien Fleming reckons they could still play on the same pitch now. 20 years later, Flem. 20 years played, still reckon you'd make runs. It was that flat.
Flem, of course.
So, that has been announced overnight. Three tests, three ODIs, and one T20. So that's in March next year. So it'll go for pretty much right on a month.
So what's been the change? So you talk about the security bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough? Is that enough to... Will there be players that won't go out of choice?
Possibly.
And so how many do we need not to go for this to fall over? Is this in concrete, do you think, yet? Like, we saw the England team pull out.
Yeah, well, I think the boards have agreed that the tour's going to take place.
Yeah.
And then it's up to, once it gets closer, to there'll be some discussions around how it's going to look for the players and the support staff, of course. And then it'll be up to the players whether they think it's safe to go or not. But I would imagine that'll be an individual choice whether they go.
And, of course, we play Pakistan in the World T20 semi-final, I think it is.
You know who I'm going to get to come on tomorrow just to preview?
Not Mark Taylor.
Nah, well, Tubby, at least he'll have something to talk about on Triple M this year because Pakistan will be in the news. He'll talk us through every run of 334.
No wonder. How many times will he run us through that?
Nah, going to get Warney on tomorrow.
Oh, Shane Warne.
Shane Warne.
We got Warney coming on.
So
awesome.
we can talk to him.
Warney.
I'm going to be too nervous.
Jars will be devastated that he's not here.
Well, that's the only reason he's coming on, because he knew Jars was on holiday.
He waited.
So he said, at least a couple of blokes that make half sense, I'll come on. But we might start, we could dabble into his private life, couldn't we?
Because he's been a bit of talk of the town.
Been
on
a busy boy.
Big Brother.
Yeah, Big Brother. Just slipping
times.
Into the DMs.
Can we ask?
Jess Power.
Can we go down that path, G?
Sure.
You're pretty good at you know, pulling us back into the line.
Actually, you can ask that question.
All right.
Gee, sure. You say, hang on. Hey, I got a funny feeling what might happen after this.
What?
Well, I reckon Warnie might just Google the female voice on this show and might slip into another dance.
Oh, no.
The dulcet tones of Emma G. You might have Warnie prowling around.
Oh, no.
He'll be good fun anyway. He's always entertaining tomorrow. So,
awesome.
Not tomorrow. He's always entertaining. But we got him on tomorrow in Rush Hour. So
that's a big get.
Look forward to that.
Listen in.
Now, Bern, you've been sharing some stories with us about your little Harvey.
I have.
Having been a teacher myself, I'm sorry, but it's parents like you that make me dread this time of year.
Gee.
Parent-teacher interviews.
Why? Is that because it's a tough conversation to have?
Exactly.
Or because you don't like people like me? You don't like my kids? What's the problem?
I love people like you and your kids. It's not that at all. It's just that you know you have the little rascal and you've got to word everything positively.
Yes.
Like, you know, Harvey has great potential.
Oh, potential.
Potential.
If only he was less focused on the social side of his learning.
Yeah, well, that's the
and
thing
if
they always
just
start
shut
with.
Shut up.
Yeah, look, he's it's not that bad. What they always start with. It's he hasn't been that bad. So don't worry. Well, I'm not worrying yet because you haven't told me what it is. And then it's pretty bad. But, that's why I said in the opener that we had a – it's not called a parent-teacher interview when they go into daycare, but it's – well, he's got – next year he turns 3 in February, so it's about his transition. So it was like a – you call it a transition meeting, I suppose. Or whether he might just transition himself out of the joint. We tried to get out once. That was one of the things that popped up. But as part of this transition meeting, it was basically a summary of the year and how he's gone and his learning abilities and what he enjoys, which is he ticked all those boxes. But then all of a sudden at the end, it was
like
a bit of, this is the bit where it hasn't been too bad, but don't get too worried. But then I'm going to call it a rap sheet, came out. It was like, all this paper fell out.
You got to sign off during the year.
I don't mind signing autographs and stuff, but when it comes to these incident reports, I've signed every one, and I've only told Abby probably one in 3 or 4 of them. And she's there in the...
Abby was there.
Some of these came as a slight shock to her, too, because I thought... She probably don't need to know that one.
Keep it between father and son.
Oh, that's a bit of a father-son relationship sort of thing. Yeah. I'll fix him.
I'll sort him out in the car.
I forgot half of them, so I really fixed him. But then she went through and it reminded me, and I've spoken about a few of them on here when they've popped up, but then she was going through, I think they have to go through whether they're the aggressor or being aggressed on. So there was a few that, copped a little truck in the eye at one stage, a little shiner.
Probably deserved it.
Yeah. And then I said, well, you need better authority around here. And then she got to when he was the aggressor, and I thought, that's when the things come out. But that reminded me. So there was obviously the great escape over the fence.
What did he have? He was getting others, weren't he? And chucking them over the fence to get into the other group.
Giving him a leg up over the fence.
Pre-incident. So they smelled a bit of a rat, the teachers in there. And they were like, what's there's a, bit of a congregation over here. And it was sort of Harvey and the other, I'm going to call them, not troubled kids. What's a better word for that?
Rat pack.
Little rascals.
The rat pack were just having a little meeting, which is sort of it's a red alert. And I thought, well, let's just watch them and, let's let them, learn themselves what not to do. And there's a quick meeting. Then all of a sudden they're getting legged up over the fence. And then Harvey was the last one, got pulled over. They're landing on their heads and everything, brushed themselves off and just walked off into the next yard.
Did they have their getaway gear over the other side?
I thought, well, did they run? Did they take off? They just linked up arms and just walked off into the older group. And that's where he's transitioning into. So I said, well, maybe he's ahead of his time. Is he a genius, this kid?
He's probably already spent about a week in there. He's got a tunnel.
Go under, dig a tunnel in the back, down the back somewhere. But then there's this one's, I'm not real proud of this one. I saw this one. And there's no better way to put this. Punch in the face to the teacher when I dropped him off.
No.
He wasn't real happy.
No.
Well,
I
copped two before handing him over. And I thought, well, if I'm copping a couple, you can cop one. It was a left-right good night too. I had to time him out in the daycare. there's all these other kids running around. I've got him in time out. I've had to. I'm on the way. You know, I've got things to do.
How did you handle that one? Were you embarrassed?
I said, I always go, well, he doesn't usually do that. So, well, I saw him hit you twice.
Yeah, you've got a blood nose.
I'm on the way to hospital to get stitches, but he doesn't usually do that. No. Anyway, there was that one. There was the one, remember how there was a bit of a fracas down the back, and there's these
word,
two
fracas.
Kids. Yeah, yeah, there was one bit bigger kid on another kid.
Yeah.
And was just dominating the wrestle or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Harvey wasn't happy with this. So he'd come down, the kid on top, he probably could have grabbed him by the shirt, but decided the hair was the best.
Oh.
Not, but dragged him off of the wrestle and then just decided that wasn't far enough. So continued him all the way over
just
to the sand pit.
Him along the... And then in sand pit, just buried the head as well. Just
that kid's never been seen before. Dug a shallow grave for him. There's a lot of mayo on the end of that story. But then he's a very loyal person. And then the kid that was on the bottom that was, you know, crying quite upset, Harvey made sure they were right for the rest of the day. They said it was quite cute.
Yeah, that was nice.
I said, well, that's a good finish
to it. What about the shallow grave? Did they get the kid?
He found his shoe, I think. That's about... but there's just some of these things that just reminded me of, I thought he'd had a pretty good year in daycare. And after that sort of meeting, He's had a pretty poor one.
Oh, no, he hasn't. Well, he's put it. He's a little character burn.
Yeah.
Little character.
Well, that's what they used to say about me, and I'm worried.
You turned out all right.
I'm really worried for it. I turned out all right, did I?
I don't know.
Actually, on second thoughts.
You can get involved in the show anytime on the Automasters text line 0488 51047. Switch and save on service and repairs with paylater options at the 22 Automasters centres. Today's question comes from Jenny from One Tree Hill, and I guess this is off the back of what we were just talking about with Pakistan the cricket. Bluey, have you ever been scared when travelling overseas on a cricket tour?
Most times,
hang
on,
I haven't finished
bowler.
The question.
He was scared.
Have you ever been put in a dangerous situation?
Thanks, actually, the first thing that comes to mind is a couple of nightclubs with Ricky Ponting. Put me into
he got a bit punchy after a few grogs, didn't he?
Yes.
And a bit of a temper.
So I was a bit scared on a couple of those nights.
What, of him or the fight he was going to start?
Just the predicament that we were left in. But probably the most scared I've been is we went on safari in South Africa, which was one of the great, I've been really lucky. I've been on about three or four safaris, but one particular safari that I went on, I was sitting in the back seat, of one of those Land Rovers, you know, the without the top on.
Open roof.
Yeah. Open roof. And I was sitting there with Steve Waugh and we were right at the back and we were looking at this bull elephant that was in must. Burn. He was like,
what's in mask?
In mask.
He was horny as.
Okay.
Hey? No, he was ready.
He was up for it.
He was ready to rumble, mate. The old was just flapping around.
Yeah.
And there were fluids going everywhere.
What, bit of gravel race.
You can see the trail he'd left from.
It's like a snail that had been across the grass earlier.
Correct.
Yeah. And there you guys are, just this whole carload of testosterone.
Yeah, that's right. Well, this elephant was huge, right? And his ears were flapping and other parts were flapping as well. But you could tell he was up and about, right? So it would have been about, I reckon, 30 metres away.
Oh, no.
And every now and then he'd sort of like fake to charge. And this engine... was not turned on, right? Not turned on. So I'm sitting next to Steve Waugh. He's got his camera out. He loved taking photos, so he's got his big lens like that. And he's taking photos. And I'm looking at this elephant slowly getting closer and closer.
Wasn't the only big lens by the sound of it.
And I'm thinking, just turn the motor on in case.
Get the getaway car ready.
Anyway, sure enough, this elephant is charged.
No.
It is charged. So it's got... It's gone about 15 metres. It got to about 10 metres away from us. The driver has just casually turned the engine on and just, you know, driven off. And I'm like, mate, what happened if that car did not start? Yeah. And he goes, well, you know, strife.
Probably,
strife.
You probably wouldn't have played test cricket again, mate.
That's right. But I was shit frightened.
Did Steve Waugh Did he?
I said, mate.
Did he just take photos the whole way as it was charging? And we looked at the did he flinch?
No, because he's looking down. Yeah, so we looked at the photos later, and his whole lens was just full of trunk and ears. And
was it the trunk or the other trunk? It was two on that thing.
Which trunk?
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Bernie Fitz's super exciting, ultra mega important, interesting, bizarre final fact.
Well, as we heard yesterday, the facts are back.
Yes.
I'm not sure they're any good or not. That's not you.
No, I know.
You don't want to be jazzed.
No, I know.
Nah.
Yeah, mate.
Can you imagine looking in the mirror and then
remind me of that.
Jazz? Well, imagine that in the morning.
That coming back at you.
She'd walk out of the mirror and try to walk back in.
Oh, stop. You guys are terrible.
Oh, sorry.
No, we love jazz.
Yeah, we do.
He just can't. He finds it hard to concentrate for a whole hour. So once you start your facts, it's time to go.
Concentrate for an hour. God.
Try doing Dead Set Legends with him.
Yeah, that's three
hours.
Well, that's when he turned up on time.
Oh, yeah.
As we know, we're all Scorpios in this time, so it's basically when all the tools are born around this time of year. Well, Bluey, you're born now. And Tommy, you are you?
Yes, Tommy.
The mic is on.
Hey,
I can't.
Turn him off. Right. We might come to you in a minute. On this day, and we just lost this man not too long ago, Bert Newton. But TV personalities, Paddy McGrath and Bert Newton were married in Melbourne on this day in 1974. So there you go.
Wow.
On this day, 1985, which is a very good year. I was born in this year.
Was it?
What were you, G?
87.
87.
Mm.
Well, not 85, but anyway. No. I don't even know why I asked. Rolling Stone magazine made its debut. Do you know what that magazine is about? I thought the Rolling Stones debuted. Well, that's what I first read.
What do you mean it's about? It's music. It's about music.
Rock music, Bert. It's one of the most famous rock and roll magazines.
What do you think it was about the band?
I thought the Rolling Stones debuted. And I was trying to work out how old they were. And I was like, no, that's not right. But it's a rock magazine, culture magazine, and it launched many famous careers.
Mm.
I don't know who because I didn't look any I know you're about to ask me who, so don't ask.
No.
All right? A lot of them.
I read you were going to ask me.
Actually.
Hang on. What was this day on Rolling Stone? It first appeared.
Yes, made its debut.
Magazine.
Oh, I thought it was much earlier than the 85.
Nah, 85.
No. Okay.
Rolling Stone magazine. Are you questioning my facts now?
I actually am challenging you on that one. I'm going to go research that.
Yeah, just start having a little look.
Keep typing and I'll ask Tommy a question. Tommy, you had an interesting on this day.
Yeah, I just thought there was one that you've missed from your final facts.
Why is his mic on? Normally he starts talking with it out.
I'll figure that out now.
He's
the on button here.
You
don't have to eat the microphone either. You don't have to get
Once
he found the on button, he thought you had to hold it down. he's holding it down. You take your finger off, Tommy. Anyway, now he's eating. Okay. It's not an ice cream, that thing.
All right.
Okay, we go.
It's an on this day.
Yeah, on this day, isn't it?
On this day last year was when Rudy Giuliani, who's Donald Trump's lawyer, held a press conference at the Four Seasons Total Landscaping car park, which is it was the day that the election was decided, that Trump lost.
Mm.
And it was hilarious.
Is that it?
Yeah, this is a great fact.
What was the funny bit?
Because I probably should have set it up, properly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I thought you were going
to
do.
So they meant to book it at the Four Seasons Hotel.
Yes.
Yeah. And they booked a car park of a landscaping place also called the Four Seasons.
Oh, I get it.
Which is,
probably just leave him off.
Probably wasn't worth turning the mic on for that one.
Was he also the mayor of New York? He's in a bit of, is he in a bit of spot of bother at the moment?
No, he's in all sorts.
He's in Musk, is he?
Must.
Sorry, I'll keep putting a K on the end of that. Sorry,
Ben. Sorry, you are to be corrected. The first issue of Rolling Stone was in 1967, John Lennon was on the cover of the first issue.
Where are you getting this stuff from?
Hang on, I have to double check. No. I'll get back to you tomorrow.
Ben gets his facts from the same place as Tom.
Yeah, actually, yours is probably better now.
Well, at least mine was right.
Hey, yeah. I'll tell you what is right. Have you ever done a deadlift? I'm not into weights. A deadlift. You know how a deadlift is when you sort of keep your legs pretty straight, you bend over, pick the bar up and straighten your back.
Yeah. Backbreakers, I call them.
Backbreakers. I know why you'd need to do them, anyway, they made
it. To strengthen your hammies.
Hamstring and glute. And your butt. Yeah.
Can't you tell that I've done heaps of them?
your legs. You look like a bike. You should be a bike rider, I tell you, with those powerful quads. I want to take you to, and we're talking about animals a little bit earlier, the silverback Gorilla.
The big, oh, the talking big about
that's me. Big that, chest.
Oh,
big
yeah. Back. That's, big back. Yeah, run around.
No, that's Jars. Yeah.
That's Jason Dunstall. Yes. That's what they call him, the silverback. Yes. The chief, the big chief.
Yes.
But do you know that they're that powerful through their glute and hamstring? Mm. Now, remember, the human world record is just under 500 kilo for a deadlift.
Right. I'm like Jars.
A silverback could deadlift 815 kilos. 815 kilos because they did it with a log. And they could, the strongest one they could find.
Get a gorilla to do a deadlift.
Well, that's the art of picking something up. The heaviest they've ever got someone to do it. You know what? There's probably stronger ones that couldn't be stuffed picking up the log. But
I heard it actually like picked it up and then spun it around on his finger.
Like and then threw like it like a javelin. There
that is serious strength.
And I'm going to have to make a phone call to this website that I paid to get this information.
Oh, dear.
And
how many years out were you?
Almost
about 20. Yeah. Oh, dear.
Okay. Right. Well, there'll be a couple of phone calls being made. And
is that it?
This website will probably be shut down by tomorrow. Good night, family.
Good night. Warning on tomorrow.
Yes. Can't wait.